KEQX 89.7 Stephenville, Comanche, and Bluffdale.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you each week by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, as well as the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with Brother Tim Ayers again this week, and we want to thank Tim Ayers for filling in for Kerry as he is off on a little venture. We'll get more into what Kerry's up to later on, maybe not in this program, but maybe next week. I think he may be coming back one more week, and then he is moving to the other side of the River Jordan. He's going to the other side of I-35 over into Athens, Texas, and so thankful to have Tim Ayers here with me tonight. Now, this is a live call-in talk show. And we want you to call in because we have some topics that I think that are going to be very interesting to you tonight. 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. I understand we had an email last week, Tim. We never did get around to, or maybe it just didn't come through. I'm not real sure. If you are having trouble catching us on the air, you can go to harrisonclark.org on the web, and you can tune in to us right there. But we do want you to call in. You have heard what men have had to say, and now listen to what the Bible has to say. And we're in the middle of these Christian graces that we find here in 2 Peter chapter 1. We begin reading about those Christian graces in verse 5, and they're all listed there. But perhaps there's no other passage of the Scripture in the Bible that is more practical and more applicable to Christian living and eternal life than these Christian graces. When we apply these Christian graces to our lives, we become what God would have us to be. Now, for the last 2 weeks, we've been covering these, and we considered faith. And we considered virtue last week, and then it says there in verse 5 that we are to add to that knowledge. Now, a person possesses information in his mind, but if that information is not true, it's just information. It's not true knowledge. And until that information is true, it cannot be knowledge. We have several examples of this in the Bible, and we're going to get to one in just a moment. If you have your Bibles, we would ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 37, because a great illustration of the difference between information and true knowledge is given to us here. We have an account of Joseph, whose father Jacob loved more than the rest of his sons. And he was sold into Ishmaelite slave traders by his brothers, and then later on sold into Egyptian bondage. But then at the deception of the brothers, they go to Joseph's father, and they deceive him with some information. Now, this is not true knowledge. Now, Tim, if you will, why don't you read that for us there in Genesis chapter 37 and make a few comments about the difference between the information that is given this man and true knowledge, and that's what we're after here tonight.
Okay. Thank you, David, for allowing me to be back on the program again. Let's read Genesis 37, and we're going to start in verse 31. Hope you have your Bibles with you. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Genesis 37, starting in verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. So here you see this account where Jacob was deceived by his sons. Joseph, of course, was not dead. He was alive. But the brothers did not want their father to know that they had sold him off into bondage. And so they deceived him, took that coat of many colors that his father had given him, and dipped it in the blood of an animal, brought it to the father, and the father Jacob then thought that, as anyone would think if they didn't know better, that this person who'd been wearing that garment must have been attacked by a wild animal. And so that was the blood of his son on that garment, he thought. And so this was evidence to him that his son Joseph must have been killed, must have been devoured by some wild animal. And Jacob believed that. He believed it. He could not have believed it anymore if it hadn't really been true. It wasn't true, of course, but he believed it. And then you notice in the text there it says that he mourned for his son. And he mourned so much, he was grieving so much, his other children could not comfort him. I don't know if you've ever suffered through anything like that, or if you've ever known someone who was suffering like that, and they were grieving, they were so sad, and they were crying, and you try to comfort them. Or maybe you've been in that situation, and you know that others were trying to comfort you, and there's just no comforting sometimes in those kind of situations. You just have to sort of get over it after a while. It just takes some time sometimes to get over that. But Jacob could not have mourned any more grievously than he did. He could not have been any more sad if it had really been true. He thought it was true, and yet it wasn't true. And this is the case sometimes when we think something is true. We think it is the case, and yet it is not. We're simply deceived. We've been tricked. We've been fooled. And we might think that something is a certain way, but it just isn't. And that, as we said, that's knowledge, but it's not truth. It's not true knowledge. You think something is the case. You think that something is true, but it just isn't. Jacob was thoroughly convinced that Joseph had been killed. He believed that he would go to his grave mourning and being sad for the death of his son. And yet what he honestly and sincerely believed was just not the truth. It was false. And so here, David, we can see and we can understand the value of truth and the value of true knowledge.
Absolutely. The true knowledge and information are not the same thing. They can be, but not always are the very same thing. And so knowledge, as we have seen these Christian graces, we started with faith, and that's the foundation of these Christian graces. And right on top of that is virtue, and that would be that moral courage. And right on top of that, you've got knowledge. But nothing can be compared to true knowledge, because if all of the others are untrue, then they're worthless. They're absolutely worthless. And so here we can see the value of true knowledge. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, Paul writes concerning the gospel, concerning the word of God, which is truth. He says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings in opposition of science, falsely called so." Which is falsely called knowledge. And so we've got to have true knowledge. Nothing in the world is more important than truth, absolutely nothing. And you ask, well, what about love, and what about grace, and what about faith? And these are only words, and they mean absolutely nothing until they are defined in light of the truth. Now, Tim, a person may think that they know the meaning of love, and a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, you know, well, I won't go to bed with anyone that I don't love. You know, those are statements that you hear made even by young teenagers. And they get this kind of information off of the television. And they really don't know what the true meaning of love is, not until you read the scriptures and understand the meaning of true love. He understands that love that he's talking about, it's not about lust. It's about the true love that the Bible has to work with here. And so when we look at this, we've got to have knowledge. And when people make statements like that, said, I won't go to bed with anybody that I don't love, then they really don't have the knowledge. They got some information, and by the way, it's got to be bad information to make a statement like that. They've got some information, but they don't have knowledge. We talked about this before we came on the air, and the consequences and the impact and the mental and the physical impact of going through and following through with things like that of which you know not, don't have the knowledge. You've got a little information, but you don't have the knowledge. We talked about how devastating that was to so many people for so many years. And seems like people can't get over getting started off on the wrong foot many, many times, Tim.
That's true, David. You know, you have folks that don't know that the Bible teaches about these matters of love and marriage and sex and all of these matters that are so vital and important and things that we do think about a lot, and they are important to us as human beings. And the Bible talks about all of those things, and God tells us in His Word how to handle these matters in the right way. If we have the true knowledge, if we have the truth from the Word of God, then we can live our lives in such a way that we won't have these problems that come up later on, these consequences that come up later on because of folks who go outside of what God teaches in His Word, those who do not follow what God teaches in His Word, where He tells us that marriage is the only arena where the sexual activity is acceptable to God. And when folks live a promiscuous lifestyle, they end up with emotional and psychological problems and sometimes physical problems, diseases and things like that. But if we would just follow God's way, the truth, the true knowledge that is found in His Word, then we would avoid all of those kinds of problems, and all of those consequences simply would not be a part of our lives. It's sad that there are so many people who simply will not acknowledge that what God says is right. They may think that, they may say that, oh yes, the Bible is the Word of God, we believe the Bible, but then they don't really study, they don't really learn what the Bible does teach about these matters. And so then they're living their lives out there just like people who reject the Bible, who say that the Bible is not true, and will just toss it aside. And so those folks are living their lives this way without the true knowledge, without the truth of what God says. And it's just sad to see folks having to suffer when they don't have to. They don't have to suffer these consequences that they do go through.
Well, Tim, without truth, all we can ever have is guesses, and we can have opinions, and these guesses and opinions are going to be based upon emotions and some human experience and a little bit of logic and a little bit of rationalization. And this is exactly what Jacob was going through. He did not have the truth. And so based upon what he knew, he saw that blood there, he assumed that he knew just exactly what had happened because he assumed that his own sons were telling him the truth. But without truth, he has none of that, absolutely none of that. Now, we talk about these young people that get into these situations, these sexual situations, it's strictly without knowledge. And strictly without true knowledge. Now, they have a little information. They have some emotions there. They have some guesses. They have some experience, maybe. But none of this is going to be based upon the truth. We even kicked this idea around earlier, Tim, about abortion. And now, abortion has been set forth in our country as something that is... well, it's set forth as just another form of birth control. That's all. According to the people that try to promote this stuff, it's just another method of birth control. But what we find is that these ladies, these women that go through these abortions, they have some psychological ill effects that they go through that will last for the rest of their lives, and some of them just absolutely never get over it. All of this started when? In 1973 at the Roe versus Wade. And, and what happened? About 25, 30 years later, this lady named Roe that brought it all on, now she has taken an about-face, 180-degree turn and decided, no, it's not just another matter of birth control. This is absolute murder. And she now is on the other side of the issue because it's finally come around, and she was just suppressing the absolute truth on the matter, and she had information, but she was refusing to look at the truth of the matter. Now when we see the scars that some of these people have to go through because they don't know the truth, that is when it really gets to be painful to see this stuff. Now, folks, the number to call is 254-445-2473 if you want to get in on this conversation. You can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com, or you can catch us on the web at harrisandclark.org. And we're talking about the Christian graces here and knowledge. How important true knowledge is, and without true knowledge, everything else is just a bunch of words.
That's true, David. You know, like you were talking about with the issue of abortion, the way that that's presented in the popular culture is, well, this is a right that women should have over their own bodies. The problem is there's a different body there.
Mm-hmm.
It's another human being that has been created there inside her body. And so I'd like to know, when does anyone in this country have the right to kill another human being? That just is not a right that we have. But when you study the Bible and you find out that the same word in both the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament, the same word is used to speak of the child that's in the womb and the child that has been born, the infant that has been born. It's the same word. And God speaks of individuals like Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, and he says, I knew you before you were formed in the womb. And the same kind of ideas brought out in Galatians 1 with Paul. And the point is, the Bible clearly shows us that God says that that is a human being. From the moment of conception, that's a human being. And so when that human being is aborted, then the studies show clearly that women do undergo some emotional problems, some psychological problems because of that, sometimes physical problems, sometimes they're sterile because of procedures that are botched and things like that. It's dangerous in many ways to go through that. And so but if you know the truth about it, you know that that's a human being, then it really doesn't matter what other circumstances are there. That's a human being, and we must protect that human being. Life is precious. God is the giver of life, and only He can take life. And so that's the truth of what God teaches in His Word. And if we know that and we go by that, then we don't have those unintended consequences, those terrible situations that people will get into because of going against what God teaches in His Word.
Well, how important is knowledge? We kick this idea around. Can you imagine if young people, and I'm going to put myself in this category as looking back 30 years, if young people would actually pay attention to truth, pay attention to true knowledge. And, of course, you know, when you get 16, 17, 18 years old, you're about as smart as anybody that ever did live, and it's real hard to grasp anything else other than what your concept of something is. But we get back again to information versus true knowledge. And if I wonder how many of these women who have gone through these abortions, had they had the true knowledge concerning the killing of that baby. And I, you know, again, this word abortion, it's thrown out there as a deflective shield, really. Why don't we just call it what it is? It's the killing of a human life is what it is. It's the murdering of a human life. The innocent, there is no more innocent than that. But we throw that term abortion out there to make it sound more palatable to us. And so I just wonder how many women in the world had they known, had they had the access to truth and knowledge concerning that and concerning their sexuality and concerning all of these other things that are being promoted by the society that we live in, I just wonder how many would make the same mistakes that they made the first time if they were armed with the truth instead. So when we look at the importance of knowledge, we've got to understand that it is the most important thing, the truth, the true knowledge, one of the most important things we can ever get our hands on.
It's true, David. You know, I can speak from my own personal experience. For about the past 30 years or so, I've been studying the Bible pretty in-depth. And I can tell you that there is just a great peace that comes with understanding God's Word. And you don't have to be a great scholar. You don't have to be a great intellect. I certainly am not any of that. I'm just a Bible student. I'm just a person who loves the Lord and loves His Word, and I've spent time in it. You know, anything that you spend time with, you're going to know it. And everybody has something that they know. Whatever it is you do for a living, or maybe you're a fan of football or baseball or something, and you know about the players, you know about their stats and things like that. You know the things that you do at work. Maybe you've used a computer a lot, and you know how to run a computer and do all those kind of things, and other people that don't do that, well, they don't know anything about it. Whatever it is that you do, whatever you spend time with, that's what you know. And if you'll spend time in the Word of God, you'll learn it. You'll have the knowledge. You will come to understanding, come to an understanding of what God teaches in His Word about all of these various things that the Bible does teach. And it's important, I think, for us to emphasize that it is possible for anyone listening tonight, anyone who is hearing our voices, they can understand what God says in His Word. You just simply have to take the book and open it and read it and mm-hmm. study it. Now, it's not like reading a newspaper. There is some effort. There is some time that must be spent in study of God's Word. But if you spend the time, if you take the time to do it, you can understand it. Anyone can. And I think that needs to be emphasized to us, to everyone tonight, that you can come to a good understanding of the Word of God. But you have to take the time to do it.
Absolutely. Well, the number to call is 254-445-2473, and it's just about time to take a break now. And the email is keqx@rocketmail.com. We're going to take a little break. We'll come back on the other side of the break, and we will continue our discussion on knowledge.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, set along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is CO Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with Brother Tim Ayers tonight from the Hyco Church of Christ. He preaches over there in the Hyco Church of Christ. And if you are in that area, you may want to go visit and learn a little bit about what God's Word has to say there and worship with the brethren over there. Tonight we are talking about the Christian graces. We have already covered faith, we've covered virtue, and in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1, we're told this, besides this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And that's what we're talking about tonight. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can call us at 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. When we went to the break, we were discussing how important knowledge truly is. And it is one of the most important things because any of the other words that we look at, whether it be love or grace or mercy or faith, those words mean nothing until they're set up in the light of the truth. Because all of those can be just information and not true words. And we're looking at truth, we're looking at knowledge, and when we study and accumulate the knowledge of God's Word, we're going to find out, Tim, what God's will is for us. And that's what we're after, to find out what is God's will, because after all, He's the one we're wanting to please.
That's right. That's right, David. We want to live our lives in a way that is acceptable to the Lord, and He's given us His Word so that we can do that. It's really a great blessing that we have the Word of God, because from the Word of God, we learn what sin is.
Mm-hmm.
This is the main problem that man has, is sin. You know, we could talk about all the kind of problems that we face as human beings, but the main problem, it always goes back to sin. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law of God. That is the violation of the law of God. God has told us things that He wants us to do, and He's told us things that we ought not to do. And when we violate that, that's what sin is. And through the knowledge of the Lord, we can learn how to escape the pollutions of the world. According to Peter in this second epistle that we're studying here, if you look on over at chapter 2 and verse 20, he says there that we escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord. And we learn through the knowledge of God's Word that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to Him through repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Again, in that same epistle that Peter wrote there. And Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And he said that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if it is the case, as some people say, that you can't know the truth and you can't really understand the Bible, then Paul must not have known what he was talking about.
No, obviously.
Because he said that God wants us to know, to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through the knowledge of the truth that we are that we can be free from sin. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free."
Right.
John 8, verse 32.
Well, I want to back up there just a moment. You mentioned just a moment ago in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 that through this knowledge, through the truth, and by the way, we're talking about true knowledge, and John chapter 17, verse 17 tells us that God's word is truth. And so when we want to boil it down, where does truth come from? It comes from the word of God. And so in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, through this knowledge, through the word of God, through the truth, we learn that we escape the pollutions of the world through this knowledge, through the knowledge. And that's what exactly what we were talking about just a moment ago when we were talking about those individuals who have been deceived for the last 30 years into believing that abortion is just another form of birth control. I fail to understand how anyone can talk about partial birth abortion and come up with this idea that that is a form of birth control. For those of you who do not know what partial birth abortion is, I'm going to give you a brief description of it. This is what the President of the United States is all for, by the way. And what it is a late-term pregnancy where they take the child and pull the child out of the birth canal by the feet, but they leave his head in the birth canal. So he will not be totally and fully born yet, separated from the mother's womb. And at that point, they pierce the bottom of his skull, and they use a suction to suck the brains out and collapse the skull of that baby before he comes out of there. Now, that's what they call partial birth abortion. Now, anybody that can go through that, anybody that can look at that and say that this is just a form of birth control, they are believing the lies that have been told for the last 30 years. It just gets more evil and more gruesome as you go. As a matter of fact, I understand as someone was trying to, in the house, they were trying to show the pictures of this partial birth abortion, and they stopped it and they would not allow the pictures, Tim, to be shown there to all the people to show how graphic and how brutal this, quote, form of birth control really was. Mm-hmm. And so this is the difference between information and truth. And when you look at the two, it's just like night and day. You may think you know what you're talking about when you're talking about birth control, but when you see that and you see the truth which is involved in it, then you understand the value of knowing what true knowledge is.
That's true, David. You know, it's sick and it's sad to see people that can do that sort of procedure with just such callousness. That's the way I would describe it. You know, the Bible talks about those that are without natural affection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what we see there with anyone who would do that kind of procedure. And another thing, when we're talking about knowledge and true knowledge, not just knowledge of the Bible, but knowledge of truth, getting the full picture of something. Like, for instance, in the process of an abortion, there are several states now that have laws mandating that someone, a woman who comes in for an abortion, must be allowed to see, or at least offered to see a sonogram of the baby in the womb. And many times this has been documented that women who see that realize that that is a human being,
right,
in her womb.
Very interesting,
but there
that
are many,
you bring that up.
But there are many liberals who have tried to stop that and block that, like Planned Parenthood and
mm-hmm.
others like that. They don't want the women to be able to see that. They don't want them to have the whole truth and to have the full true knowledge of what they're doing and what's going on there.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head there. When you see the truth, when you can see the truth with your own eyes there, then that piece of information that they had been given before is now absolutely invalid. Now, we take that very same idea, Tim, and we translate that toward an understanding of God's word. We've got some people who throw information out there, man, but then we have the word of God, which is the truth, and we have the absolute true knowledge revealed to us here. And when you compare them, it's the same as that young lady seeing that living human being inside her womb versus what they say is just a mass of tissue over here. The difference in information and true knowledge. And so when we look at the Bible, we want to look at what all knowledge will do for us. And one of the things that knowledge does for us is, Tim, it blesses us. The knowledge of the Word of God will bless everybody that reads it. There is absolutely no doubt about this. If you've got your Bibles open, I would encourage you to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verses 10 through 15. Tim's going to read this for us, and Tim's reading out of the New King James Version, a little bit easier for some people to understand. I've got an old antiquated here. I'm an old dinosaur, and I use the King James Version, but sometimes it's a little bit easier to understand in New King James. And so we want to look at the blessings of knowledge. And Tim, would you read that for us, please, there?
All right, Colossians chapter 3 and starting in verse 10. And Paul says, "And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful."
Now, that's a beautiful passage of Scripture. And I want you to notice the things that you read. A lot of times we read these things and we don't pick up on them, but we're told that as a result of being renewed in the knowledge of Christ, that there are certain things that we're going to add to our lives, just like these Christian graces. These are some more things that we're going to ask, and this is where the blessing are going to come from. There you read just a moment ago that we were going to be able to add mercy to our lives, and that we're going to be able to add kindness, and we were going to be able to add humbleness and meekness, and we were going to be able to add long-suffering, forgiveness, and we were going to be able to add love to our lives. And besides all of this, the peace of God will rule in our hearts. Now, you talk about a blessing. We have a lot of people in this world right now that would love to find peace of some kind. And it all starts with the peace of God. Until we make peace with God His way, not our way, until we make peace with God, it's very difficult to have peace with our friends and even have peace with our own self. Unless we have this peace with God. A lot of people are looking for it. A lot of people pay a lot of money to go in and have a psychiatrist or a psychologist talk to them for several hours during a day or several hours during a week and try to convince them what peace really is. And truly, this knowledge, one of the great blessings of this knowledge, is the peace that we can have with God.
You know, David, when I was young, I can remember as a boy about 9 or 10 years old, sometimes I'd be out walking and I might be out in the dark at night. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid of the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was young, I was kind of afraid of the dark. And I had watched different movies and television shows that had, you know, monsters and ghosts and things like that, you know, in the stories. And things like that can make a child get afraid and being out in the dark. And sometimes I would be kind of afraid. But I can remember, even at that age, I had been listening to the preaching of the Word of God for all of my life, really. My parents took me into the building where the Church of Christ met when I was just a baby. Mm-hmm. And so I'd been hearing it for a long time. And I knew what God's Word taught, and I knew that those things were not true, all those monsters and all that. That's just not so. And so I could walk out there in the dark, and I could have peace, and I could do away with my fears, because I knew what God's Word taught.
Right.
Now that's just something, you know, simple illustration from the life of a child. But that does, I think, give us that picture of peace that comes from the knowledge of God's Word, the knowledge of the truth. Paul called it a peace that passes all understanding in Philippians 4 and verse 7. And it is one of the most precious spiritual blessings and privileges that we can enjoy as Christians, to have
Absolutely.
To have the peace of knowing that this is what God says, and this is the truth. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says about it. I know what the Bible teaches.
Right. Well, we have a caller on the line, I believe. Caller, would you give us your name, your first name, and your comment and your question, if you have one?
David, this is Paula.
Yes, Paula.
And I'm calling in because I've been listening to your show. It sounds like you're doing a good job. But, you know, what comes to mind for me is that God doesn't have any more patience with us when we refuse to learn than we would have with our children. When you look at Hosea 4 and 6, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you. Romans 10 talks about being zealous but without knowledge.
Right.
And Ephesians 4 and 13 talks about maturing in knowledge. And it's like we try to go through life without the instruction book and just learn from our mistakes.
That's right. And have you got our outline sheet there with you?
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I think she just went down page 2 and 3, didn't she there, Tim? No, those are excellent points, Paula. A lot of times when we ask our children to do things, a lot of people thought I was hard on my kids because I told them, I said, I'm just going to ask you once, and I don't need to be asking you 2 or 3, 4 times. But that's the way I was. And no doubt, how many times does God have to ask us or show us something and before we get the idea of what he's trying to tell us? He shouldn't have to tell us but once, and you're absolutely right about that. He doesn't have any more patience with us than we do with our children. Although he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, he's going to give us time and time and time again. He's going to allow us to maybe come to a knowledge of the truth. But there is a point in there, Paula, where the long-suffering is going to run out. And just as it does with a parent and a child, there is an end to it, and we need to be fully aware of that. And he's put the knowledge out there. The true knowledge is right there. It's there. It's a free gift of God, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And when we look at this gift of knowledge that he has given us, and if we reject it, how horrible would that make God feel? I can't answer the question, but I can just only imagine.
Well, and just one more comment,
yes,
and
ma'am.
This may have been something I've heard you say, but God didn't write this book because he needed the instructions.
You're correct about that.
We're the ones who needed the instructions, and we need to learn them. We need to get that knowledge. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
Well, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate the comment, and very astute comment it is, and the passage that you quoted, they're very applicable. And hopefully, if we get there today, we'll bring those passages up again. If not, then we'll probably have to bring them up again next week, next Monday. But tonight we're talking about knowledge. We're talking about the blessing that knowledge brings, and that peace that we have with God. And as you were talking just a moment ago, Tim, when we have the peace with God, that's going to bring us through all the trials and the tribulations of this life. But not until we have that peace with God. A lot of people don't have that peace with God, and it's a crying shame that they don't, because that peace with God is, as Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it's a peace of God that passes all understanding. We can't get a hold of it as mere mortals, this peace that he's talking about, not until we have it. And if you don't have it, and it's going to be peace God's way, or it's not going to be peace at all. These people that stand up and bow up and say, you know, God's going to take me just like I am, or he's not going to take me. Well, he's not going to take you, because there's going to be a repentance take place in everybody's life, or God will not take anyone.
That's right, David. You know, Paula was mentioning there about God having the patience forever. The Bible says that he's not soon angry, but it doesn't say that he's never angry.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many passages that talk about the anger of God and the wrath of God against those who will not do his will not submit to him. He is God. And we have to understand the greatness, the majesty, the superiority of God. He's infinite. And we as his creatures, we as his creation, owe him our worship. We owe him our submission, our loyalty, our love, and because of all the blessings that he's given to us. And when we treat all of that as nothing, then he does become angry. He becomes angry with sin. But as Peter said, when he started out this second Peter epistle that we're studying, in chapter 1, verse 2, he said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." So there again is the peace that we have that comes through the knowledge.
Well, through that knowledge, we have grace, we peace. Not only that, but we have it multiplied. You know, when Jesus was doing his ministry here on this earth in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says that he came to give life and that they might have life more abundantly. It's not just plain old life when you've got Christ. Plain old life is without Christ. And plain old life without Christ may be good. But it's nothing to be compared with the abundant life that is in Christ Jesus. And that is one of the things that he's trying to get us to know. But none of this abundant life that comes about without a knowledge of the Word and the will of God. We've got to have that. We don't come through that ignorantly. This is something that we come by because we have looked and we have seen the will and we have read the will of God that is revealed to us that will guide us into this everlasting life. Now, there's a lot of good information in the book of Proverbs concerning this knowledge, and we're talking about how important knowledge is and the blessings of knowledge. Tim, you've got a few of those things there. Why don't you read those for us, and let's look at what God has to say to us through his word about the blessings of knowledge in the book of Proverbs.
Okay, we're in Proverbs chapter 2. You can turn over there in your Bibles with us here tonight. Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 3. Proverbs 2, verse 3, and it says, "Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of the Lord."
And find it. But there's some diligence that has to take place there. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what we're talking about in that second epistle of Peter, right? The diligence that must be put forth in order to find that.
It is something, Solomon says there, it is something that we have to seek.
Mm-hmm.
We have to seek after it. Now, look on down to verses 10 and 11 of that same chapter, Proverbs 2, verses 10 and 11. "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you." There again, the importance of knowledge, and it is pleasant, he says, pleasant to the soul, and he says it'll preserve you and it'll keep you. When you have an understanding of God's will, it helps us. It helps us in our lives. It helps us to know how to live. It helps us to avoid problems that will come about when we violate God's will. And it helps us to have the peace to face the problems that do come in everybody's life from time to time.
Well, you know, Paul over here in the New Testament, he tells us about the wonderful knowledge of Christ. And if he had to trade something in, he would trade all that he had. Whatever he had of a material, physical nature. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. I would give it all up, everything that I own, everything that I ever intended to have, I'd give it all up for my Lord Jesus Christ." And then he goes on to say, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He's already lost it once. He's willing to do it again. And all of these material, physical things that we get so involved in, by the way, when you look at the reason behind abortion, there's going to be money involved there. There's going to be a lifestyle involved there. There's either going to be money, there's going to be pleasure, there's going to be something that this child is going to inhibit. And that's the reason that that's going to happen. But just like Paul says, "I would count everything of a physical nature as nothing if I could just have the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. True knowledge, it is worth more than anything that we own, Tim.
That's true. In Proverbs 8 and verse 10, Solomon wrote this, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." That's hard for people to understand when the writer says that God's word is more valuable than gold. You think about gold, and of course gold has been going up in value lately with all of the instability in the world and the economic problems. But no matter how high the price goes of gold, it doesn't matter. The word of God is still more valuable. In fact, in Psalm 119, the psalmist said in verse 127, he loved God's word more than gold. It was more valuable to him to have a knowledge of the word of God than to have gold. He said in verse 129 that God's word is wonderful, that it brings so many blessings into our lives. He said in verse 161, I stand in awe of the word of God. And that's the way that we ought to be as well. God's word is so powerful and it is so awesome that we ought to value it more than we do.
Well, Tim, I got a question for you then. If this knowledge of God is so valuable, more valuable than anything that you own, if it is that valuable and it's free, why doesn't the world take it?
That's a good question. Do you have the answer?
No, I do not have the answer. I do have a clue or two through the scriptures, though. There is something that you will have to give up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to give up that material physical life. You're going to have to give up that material lust that you have in order to have the spiritual truth that is going to lead your life right on into eternity. What a lot of people don't understand, and what I like to bring out every time I get a chance, is the fact that when we die, life does not stop. And if we could keep that in mind, the fact that when we die this physical death, our life does not stop. We're going to continue to live. Now, where we live continually after that is going to depend upon how much knowledge we accumulated right here on this earth while it was free to us and free for the taking. Because after we die the physical death, now that part of our life is over. We're not going to accumulate any more knowledge there. What we've got is what we're going into the judgment with. And up until that point, if it's weak, we're in a lot of trouble.
That's true, David. That's one of the reasons why Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:17 that we need to take advantage of the opportunities that we have. He said, he used the term buying up the opportunity, redeeming the time.
Redeeming the time.
Because the days are evil. And he said we need to understand what the will of the Lord is, and take advantage of the opportunity that we have now. The people over in the eastern part of the world used to talk about opportunity, like a person walking to you with a shaved head and one lock of hair in the front, hanging down in front of the face. And once that person was past you, there was nothing to grab onto. So that's the way opportunity is. It's coming toward you, and you've got to grab onto it right then. And once it's passed, it's gone. And sometimes folks will live their lives and you know, they're busy with the things that we think are so important, making life, having a family, all of these sorts of things. And then later in life, when the kids are grown and gone and it's just mom and dad at home, and then we wonder, what happened with all the time? We didn't redeem the time. We didn't take the opportunities that we had. And so we need to do that. We need to make sure that we're taking time every day to study the Bible, to study the Word of God with our families, mom and dad and the kids, sitting down together at some point during the day and reading the Bible together and studying together and praying together. These are very important things for us to do.
Absolutely. And by the way, you talk about the abundant life. When you start there, when you start there in your home, and I know a lot of times we're real busy. The wife goes here to work, the husband goes there to work, the children go off to school, and we're very, very busy. But sometime during your day, either with your children or by yourself or somewhere, we need to break open the Word of God and get a hold of this true knowledge, this free stuff that is more valuable than gold. It's hard to imagine that it would be free and people not take it.
Mm-hmm.
You can say free hamburgers, and man, you'll have all kinds of people show up, and that's going to be over in an hour or two. But you say free words of life, and people are not near as receptive to it, and that's kind of baffling.
That's true, David. And you know, the technology today is so amazing. You were showing me your fancy phone there earlier that you have the Bible text on and several different versions and concordance and all kinds of things on your phone. And just a few years ago, we wouldn't have imagined that we could have anything like that.
Right.
But we've got the Word of God. There are free Bible programs on computer that you can download off the Internet. And almost everybody has a computer and Internet nowadays. And you can download those free Bible programs. You've got the Bible. You've got study tools. It's just so amazing what we have these days. There is no reason for anybody to say that they can't study the Bible. It's out there. It, like you said, it's free. It's available. And we really need to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we've seen today is how important knowledge is and true knowledge versus just plain old information. And we've also seen, Tim, we've seen the blessings of knowledge and the blessings and the privileges that every Christian can enjoy if he takes hold of that knowledge and makes application of that knowledge and is obedient to that plan of knowledge that God has out there. When we do that, we're going to be recipients of some of the greatest blessings of this life, more blessings than people can even imagine. But, you know, there's the other side of the coin, too. There is a side of the coin that shows us the results of a lack of knowledge. And this gets us back to what our caller Paula had to mention to us in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And I don't want to even get into it this week, because next week I want to look at what the problems that can result from a lack of knowledge, a lack of biblical knowledge in our lives. What can happen? One of the most horrific passages of Scripture that you'll ever read, if you'll look at it and put yourself in the middle of the passage, it's one of the most horrific passages of Scripture about life that you will read. It's found in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. We're going to talk about that next week, Tim. We're running a little short of time. How much time have we got here, Chris? We got 2 minutes. Tim, I'm going to let you have a word or two, and then we'll kick it back to me, and we'll sign off here in just a little bit.
All right. Thank you, David. Again, I appreciate so much the opportunity to be here on the program tonight, excuse me, to be able to be here with David. And I just wanted to say for all of you that are in the HICO area that you're certainly invited to come and worship God with us and study the Bible with us at the HICO Church of Christ. We're located on Pecan Street, just north of the Billy the Kid statue, right there in downtown HICO. You can't miss it. And if you'll come on Wednesdays at 7, we have Bible classes for all ages. On Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we have Bible classes. At 10:50, we have our worship. And at 6 p.m., we have our worship. You're always invited. You always have a cordial invitation to come, and you'll be our honored guest if you'd come and be with us during any of those times. I truly believe that there are no people more friendly than the people at the HICO Church of Christ, and you will not be able to come into our building without at least a dozen different people shaking your hand and asking your name and finding out who you are. I can guarantee you that. So we certainly want you to come anytime you can. If you're in the HICO area, come by and visit with us. And again, thank you for the opportunity to be with you tonight.
Absolutely. And I'm David Harris. I'm the preacher at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And I want to make this one point before we go, before Chris cuts us off. Sometimes I get mail, and it comes without a return address, as if somebody's afraid that I might answer their mail. But we would encourage anyone that has a question to call in or to write in or whatever, but give us a return address where we can answer your questions, because we would love to do nothing more than just that. You have heard what the Word, what men have had to say, and now what we want to teach you is what the Word of God has to say. That's all we're out to do here on this program. And so if we're out of time, Chris, I would like to finish up by saying, may God bless you all as you study His Word.